This episode is brought to you by Acorn TV.
Acorn TV. And Nick and I realized as we were watching all of the televisions, these are all shows where everybody drives on the other side of the road.
I mean, except for like the Canadian things like Murdoch Mysteries. Yeah, it's a lot of left-handed driving.
But Murdoch Mysteries, there's still horses.
A loophole. So
I love a loophole.
So speaking of driving left, from New Zealand comes the Brokenwood Mysteries.
Let me set the scene. Everybody knows I'm obsessed with New Zealand, obviously from my love of Lord of the Rings, which everyone knows is a true story that happened in New Zealand. And so this takes place in a fictional town in New Zealand, small town, less than 5,000 people, which is exactly the size of the town I grew up in. And it's like a big city detective comes to the small town and has to work with the small town police force. What a recipe for a fantastic crime drama. And we have the small towns. People are dying left, right, and center.
And use code ACORN30 at acorn.tv. Hey there, it's Nick.
And it's Leah.
So we're doing another live show.
Were You Raised by Wolves Live.
And this time we're going to be on the West Coast.
Portland, Oregon, babies.
So come see us on June 15th.
And we're going to be at the Siren Theater. And the show starts at 7:30.
So go to our website, whereyouraisedbywolves.com/live, and get some tickets.
Join us.
Hey everybody, it's Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're in New York today. And we had so many great questions come in that we have a bonus episode.
So exciting.
So here are some questions from the wilderness.
My favorite place.
Our first question is, how late is too late to text?
I think this is a great question because I think it's actually very flexible.
Okay. All right. You like that there are no set rules of this.
Yeah, because I think it really depends on who you're texting with.
Okay. I think that you can text at any time. Because the reason why I think people are asking this question is you don't want to disturb someone.
When they're sleeping.
And so with modern technology, you don't have to be disturbed. I turn off my phone.
We turn off our phones, but some people don't turn off their phones.
Well, that's on them if a text comes in the middle of the night.
Except for there are a few people I know who are checking on family and like or have the thing going on in their life where I know they have to have their phones on all the time.
Well, with modern technology, there's a way to let those people's texts go through.
I don't think those people know those things.
Okay.
Well, I just wouldn't text certain people that I know maybe don't turn their phones off late.
Okay. So you know who these people are.
Yeah.
Okay. So then for you and these people, how late is late? Nine.
For me, I'm on an opposite schedule. So I text most of my friend group who are comics until 2 or 3 in the morning. And then I would consider it weird if I got a text from them at like 7 a.m. I'd be like, was there a crisis? You know what I mean?
What is wrong?
But that's, you know, when dealing with civilians, as I call them.
Muggles.
Yeah, with the muggles. I try to be more aware of other people's schedules.
Yeah, I think if you don't want to be disturbed by texts and you're not anticipating someone dying in your life or you have some, you know, child who hasn't come home that night, I think you don't have to have your phone on and be disturbed. In which case, send those texts.
I think some people with kids feel like they need to have their phones on all the time in case, which I understand.
Okay.
So that's why I'm careful with people, especially who have like teenage children who are driving and just making wild choices.
Okay. All right. So 9 o'clock feels safe.
Yep.
And then after 8 a.m.?
I mean, if you're texting somebody before 10 a.m.
Okay.
It seems aggressive.
It has to be an emergency.
It's an emergency or like something that needs to get done ASAP.
Okay. Well, for you out there, if you want to text me, you can do it at any time because I'll get to it when I want. Our next question.
I also always feel obligated to respond to people right away. So that's on me.
Do you have your read receipts on or are you a normal person?
I'm a normal person.
Okay. Yeah. For anybody who has read receipts on, here's the thing about read receipts. Sidebar. Read receipts are great if you want to make the point that I have seen your message and I'm actively choosing to ignore you.
That is weird. You don't get those from me, right?
No.
Okay, because I hope I don't have that on.
No, but I only turn read receipts on for specific people that I want to make the point.
Oh, you do it on purpose.
Yeah, I do it on a per person basis where it's like, oh, I've gotten your message. I am choosing not to respond.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a little, that's varsity level.
This is whole new. I'm taking classes.
Yeah. Our next question is from somebody who feels trapped at dinner. So she asks, is there a polite way to excuse myself during a sit-down lunch or dinner at a friend's house? If everyone has finished eating, but the conversation drags on for another hour or two, can I excuse myself and leave if the hostess hasn't made a move to dismiss us?
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't socialize a lot. You know what I mean?
Because you don't know how?
No, because my work time is usually during people's social time.
I see.
And so I want to see friends who have a different schedule. So I'll say I can come, but I have to leave. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you in advance so you don't think it's, you know, rude or know that I just just decided to leave. So I also think you could, if especially if it's a place where you're like, oh, I go to these people's houses and it just goes on. You just say, I'd love to come. I would love to catch up. Thank you for inviting me. I have a hard out because I have a blank later.
So plant the seed early.
Yeah, plant the seed early.
Yeah.
So everybody knows. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then just make sure you stick to whatever your blank was.
You got to stick with your lie.
Yeah.
That's true.
No, don't make it a lie. Make it a thing that is, you know, a thing you have to do. Maybe not at that time exactly.
So there's a thing.
Yeah.
I need to get my affairs in order.
Yeah.
But we just don't have to say when that thing has to happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it is happening. That way it's not a lie.
Right. Okay. I do need to prepare my will.
Yes.
Doesn't necessarily have to happen at 8 p.m. tonight.
Yeah.
Okay.
But also people don't need to know what it is.
Yeah. You should actually never give a specific excuse. Just say you're unfortunately do need to leave by a certain time.
Yeah.
Because if you're explaining, you're losing.
Yes. And that's a hard lesson to learn. I still do it.
Right. And I think you have to stay through dessert. Like you have to stay through like the normal progression of the meal.
Right.
But I think once there's like a dessert or coffee, especially if it's in a secondary location, never go to the secondary location.
That's for dinners and
kidnappings.
And kidnappings.
So if they move to like the living room or the lanai, you should like excuse yourself at that time.
I love the word lanai as a side note.
I wish I had a lanai. That is the one thing I'm missing in New York. I'm missing a washer dryer and a lanai.
Oh, a lanai.
I mean, that's the dream.
My Nana and Pop-Up used to go to Florida and then I would come visit them and they had a lanai and it was like, oh, I just loved it.
What's not to like about a lanai?
It's the most amazing place.
It's paradise. Our next question. How do you tell someone that their fly is down?
You did such a good job on like making it very casual about the boogie that I think this could be a thing that you answered.
And that's a reference to some previous episode.
That's a reference
if you
to
don't
a
know
episode.
What Leah's talking about.
I actually did that this week. I was like, oh, you just have a thing.
Yeah, gotta be real cool about it. Yeah, I think you wanna just be direct, discreet, but you don't wanna use euphemisms. I looked this one up online because I was like, this seems so obvious. Why is somebody asking us this question?
No, this happens a lot. And I've been with people and I don't know how to, I know how to say it to friends.
Right.
And it's the people that are just not quite friends that you don't want them to feel uncomfortable or to be like, I've been staring at your crotch. But that's not what I was doing. I just noticed.
Yeah. Online, there was a list of things you should say. These are things you should not say. One of the things is your pod bay door is open, Hal. So, I mean, a 2001 reference. A little dated. Not everyone's going to get that. Also, that's insane.
Also, you'd have to explain it first. And then by then,
you're like, it's over. And then you start singing like, Daisy. And then the second thing you should not say, which has been suggested on the internet, you've got a security breach at Los Pantalones. Like, how are these ideas?
I'm ready if you're like, your pantalones abierta.
So don't say that. Yeah, I think you just casually make eye contact and be like, oh, your fly's down.
Okay.
And you just leave it there.
It flies down.
Is there a female equivalent to this? Like your bra staff doesn't like come undone.
No. Right? But I think it's also fly. Women don't want to have their flies open either.
Sure. Okay. And so the same rule applies for women?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So our next question is it rude to give someone an unusually large surprise gift that would require a person to totally rearrange their house? Like an enormous painting?
I don't even understand this question.
Well, it sounds like our letter writer has received an unusually large surprise gift.
It seems like our letter writer has received a large painting.
Yeah. So I actually know somebody who has had something like this happen to them. They got a photo for their wedding that was taken at their wedding and the gift giver was in the photo.
Oh.
So that's nice, I guess. It's a little weird to give a gift where you're in the
photo.
Here's
a picture of me.
A little bit.
For your house.
But it was also 4 feet by 3 feet.
Oh my goodness.
Which is large.
Yeah, that's like a whole New York apartment.
That is a large place. So it is definitively provocative to give such a large thing.
It definitely is.
That requires some rearranging.
Yeah.
Unless you really knew the people. And you really knew that this was correct.
Yeah, and you knew the space and their taste.
And I'm pretty sure that didn't happen here. So, yeah, it's rude to give this gift, for sure.
I mean, it's just wild to me that people are giving large gifts.
So
there's a part of it that I find very exciting.
Oh, it's the size that you find
well, just like
troubling.
Extravagant gifts, you're like, this is amazing.
Well, they're not always expensive. It's just the volume and the physical size, I think, is the problem.
Like, how did they get it there?
I mean, if I gave you a sectional couch in green corduroy that I bought for $1.
I can't you imagine.
Not an extravagant gift, but it's a sectional.
And I'm in a walk-up.
Right. Yeah, and I'm not going to deliver it to you.
Oh.
Curbside
only.
Do
you want to come get it?
Right.
No.
So again, I guess the question is, what do you do about this gift that you've received?
I would be like, oh, unbelievable. I feel like I would be like, if you have a garage, I'd be like, thank you so much.
You do have to say thank you.
Yes.
And you send a thank you note.
Thank you so much.
And then, yeah, you got to just sort of hide it.
Yeah. And then be like, oh, looking for a place for it.
Yeah. I just haven't found the right spot.
Yeah. Maybe if you have a barn, mm-hmm. you could put it on one of the barn walls.
Or a garbage.
I think you have to keep it for a while.
You have to keep it long enough for them to stop asking about it.
Yeah.
Because they will. This person that gives you this horrible gift will absolutely follow up with you.
I mean, you may just have to move.
Yes. Change your phone number. Move. Yeah. So I think you say thank you and you try and bury this thing. Although if it's large, like, where are you going to put it? And in New York City, if you receive something like this, like, yeah. where are you going to put this?
I don't think this could be in New York City. I can't imagine that a New Yorker, people know the price of, we don't have wall space.
We don't have walls.
Yeah. We don't even have
it's
walls.
It's all round domes here. Yeah. So I think it's rude. I think you say thank you, and I think you got to leave it at that.
I also think as a gift giver, it's important to not give gifts that give people jobs.
Right. That's a very good point.
Like, if I have to move furniture or travel somewhere, unless that's the gift, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? If you know, because obviously as the giftee, I want to make you happy.
But if I'm assembling something or replastering or rearranging the furniture in my house.
Yeah, it seems.
It's too far.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's a very good point. Yeah. When a gift becomes effort.
Yeah. Oh, now I have a job.
Thanks.
Then it wasn't a gift.
Right. Yeah. So thanks. And now it's time for Intermezzo.
Intermezzo.
So this episode is brought to you by Acorn TV, which has the best of British, Canadian, New Zealand, like all sorts of great television.
And they have tons of different kinds of shows.
Oh yeah, all sorts of genres.
I'm just severely focused on crime, mystery, murder. That's really my sweet spot.
And so obviously the Brokenwood Mysteries from New Zealand, this is up your alley.
Very up my alley, because it combines my love of murder mysteries and my love of New Zealand, which was born from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, no, anything set in a seemingly quiet country town where something goes wrong. Yeah, I mean, this is up your alley.
Also, they have a big city detective move to said small town, having to work with the local police, and they have a different way of doing things that everybody finds to be a bit right. jarring. So up my alley.
So check that out and use promo code ACORN30 at acorn.tv. And now it's time for Intermezzo.
Intermezzo.
So this episode is brought to you by Incogni. And what Incogni does is basically helps get your personal information off of the internet.
What's so funny is that before Incogni ever approached us, Nick has been telling me to get online and do this because I never Google myself. I never look at anything. I don't have the bandwidth. And my incorrect age is floating out there.
Right. Yeah. There are serious consequences. Yes. So I've helped Leah sign up, and it is very easy to sign up. You basically just like sign up and you give them permission to reach out to data brokers on your behalf. And then they just like take care of it. They reach out, they request all this information to be deleted. They report back to you, let you know how it's going. And like, that's it. And so Incogni has an amazing deal for our listeners. Get an exclusive 60% discount. 60. That's a lot. So go to incogni.com/WYRBW. That's INCOGNI.com/WYRBW. Our next question is, in my building's laundry room, people regularly forget to take their stuff out of the washer and dryer. How long should I wait?
I got stressed reading this question because this is...
Does this hit home?
This hits home.
Okay. Walk me through it. Let's talk it out.
Obviously, I don't have a washer dryer in my building.
Okay. So where do you go?
How does laundry get done?
Okay.
I've also figured out the days in which the people who do that are no longer there because it was so stressful to me because I don't want to take it out.
So you're like, Lisa is always there on Tuesdays.
Lisa's always there on Tuesdays and she leaves her stuff in too long and I can't handle that pressure.
Wow.
But I was staying with a friend actually in Los Angeles and I was in my friend's apartment. So I want her building. I don't want to set anything off in her building, but people... Every single machine had clothes in and that it was finished. Mm-hmm. And they were just all taken up with people that just left their stuff in the machine.
So how long do we wait?
Well, I didn't. I panicked. That's why I think this is such a great question. I waited. I don't live there. I didn't want to start a war.
So how long did you wait?
I waited until some lady came.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, is that yours? I'm just standing there with my stuff.
4 hours later.
I actually started pacing around in a circle in the building. And I was like, talking about laundry really loud. I just don't understand what people are doing. Aren't you thinking about the other people?
So people definitely space it out. And we're going to assume for the moment that people are not doing this maliciously.
Okay.
We'll just pretend as the baseline.
Well, they're not malicious. They're just self-centered.
Okay. I mean, the Venn diagram overlap. there's sufficient overlap. I think there is a range of opinions on this topic, which is obviously a very hot topic. On the low end, 5 minutes is the minimum. You cannot go below 5 minutes. 5 minutes is the minimum.
Oh, yeah. Wait 5 minutes.
All right. So you can't go below five. Some people think you should wait up to a half an hour.
That seems unreasonable.
That seems crazy. That seems crazy.
Because nobody has, who has that extra amount of time?
And if you haven't gotten there by half an hour, I mean, come on, what are you doing? So, all right. So we agree that it's somewhere between 5 minutes and 30 minutes. So 10 minutes feels good.
The thing is that sometimes you don't know when the clothing ended.
True.
You just come in and there's clothes sitting.
That's true. Yeah. So what do you do about that? So then the clock has to start when you arrive.
Right.
So that's when the timer starts. So I think 10 minutes is good. At the 10-minute mark, it's sort of like you've given the person an ample opportunity to come and get their stuff.
Right.
So then once you do take stuff out, I think it's important to, if it's in the washer, do not put it in a dryer. It needs to go into a basket.
Yep.
Like, that's important. And if it comes out of the dryer, I guess you just have to sort of do that nicely.
I would fold it, but I'm an insane
person. You would fold
it.
Yeah. You should not touch people's.
If I took it out and I don't want it to wrinkle.
Are you going
to
fold underwear? Like, where's the line?
I'll fold underwear.
Don't straight. No.
People come in, I'll be like, I was folding your underwear. Very attractive.
Okay. So don't do that because that's crazy.
I don't want them to have wrinkles.
I feel like the societal hazard you are causing by folding a stranger's underwear supersedes the hazard of wrinkled clothing.
Life is such... so many hard choices.
This is not a hard choice.
I don't want them to have wrinkles.
Yeah, but I don't want you, strange or crazy lady, touching my underwear.
Well, how am I getting it out of the dryer?
You grab the whole thing in a big bunch and it goes into the wire basket.
What if there's no basket?
Where is there no basket?
Lots of places.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Like a laundromat does not have a basket?
Well, my friend's building had no baskets.
Well, that's a shame. Oh, so what do you do then?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Can you put it on top of the dryer?
You have to put it on top of the dryer, which who knows what's been on there.
I think I go on top of the dryer.
Okay.
I mean, being late has consequences.
It does. It should.
So, you know.
I shouldn't feel guilty for it. It's your fault for being late.
Yeah. Yeah. No, don't make apologies. So I think the answer is, got to wait at least 10 minutes, no more than 30. And you have to try and be as respectful of the clothes as possible without folding them Lea Bonima.
Okay.
Thank you. Our next question.
Maybe it's an item that just seems like it's really delicate and someone should fold it.
If somebody put a very delicate item in the dryer, they're an animal.
Okay.
So I don't think you have to fold it. Our next question. I have global entry and my friend does not. If we go on an international trip together and we come back, do I have to wait for him in line in immigration or can I meet him on the other side? So global entry, we know what this is.
Yes.
This is sort of expedited immigration. It sounds like this person doesn't want to wait for his friend.
I don't think they should wait.
You don't
Why
think they
should
wait?
They wait?
Well, if you're sharing a cab back from the city.
Just wait. I mean, just wait on the other side.
I think that's probably fine. I guess if you really wanted to. I mean, I guess it's if your friend needed to be kept company.
I mean, how is that your responsibility?
Well, you're friends with this person.
I mean, if you feel like hanging out, then do so. But right. If you don't want to,
Like, we've been on a flight together for 8 hours. I have no more small talk left. I'll see you on the other side.
Yeah.
See a baggage claim.
Also, you probably got global entry because you hate waiting in line.
Valid.
So why should you do something you hate?
Oh, the student becomes the master. Yes. I agree. Yes.
I don't think that's true. I have a lot of friends who have like pre-check and all that stuff when we travel for comedy, and I should have gotten it done, but I'm added to
the
list.
Do you still not?
No, I still got to do it. They'll be like, I'm going to go through and I'll be like, cool, see you. What, they should wait because I haven't gotten my life together? No. See you on the other side.
Okay. I did not expect that answer from you, but...
I don't have problems with things like that. Oh. I want people to live their life.
Okay. That's true. That is your sort of raison d'etre.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. If I'm making you responsible for me not getting my stuff together, that seems crazy.
Okay. All right, great. So you feel free to go ahead, see a baggage claim. And I guess, yeah, no, nothing more to say about that.
I don't know why you're shocked that I think
that. Yeah, I don't know. I just thought you were going to have a totally different answer on that. But
really?
I thought you'd be like, you should stay with your friend. Don't abandon your friend. No. Friendship forever. Care bear stare. Yeah, I thought it
was. No, friendship should be like, you hate waiting in line. Go ahead.
Yeah. But I think everybody should just have global entry. So yeah. There's that.
I mean.
We're going to work on that, Leah.
There's so many things that I need to work on.
That's the top priority item for
really,
your life.
I'm really trying.
Our next question is, do you have to return missed calls when they don't leave a message?
Some people I'll text and be like, did you call?
What? No.
Just because I'm worried that they're like stuck in a trunk somewhere.
Then let them. They'll text again.
Okay.
I think if somebody does not leave a message, it is as if.
These are only close friends.
I mean, then they'll text.
My close lady friends. Because sometimes what if they thought they left a message and didn't go through?
Who thinks that?
I don't know. I'm just leaving that as
other
an option.
Other people who would be like, hey,
if my parents do it, I text them. Did you just call?
Okay. If it's an elderly person.
They are not elderly. They are just my parents.
If they're silver surfers.
They're not even silver surfers.
If they're just people who are not great with technology.
No, they are great with technology.
Well, then I don't know what the excuse is for them.
They hate voicemails.
Then they should text in general and should not even try.
They don't call. That's why if they called, I'd be like, okay.
Something's wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think if you know.
I love how I have to have a caveat for everything. These are the situations where I'll text my parents and very close friends. I just want to make sure there's not an emergency situation where they were trying to call me, but then, oh, they got robbed. Mm-hmm. And then I just want to make sure.
Mm-hmm. The flip side is I do have people that will call, not leave a message, and expect that I will return the missed call.
Oh, yeah. No.
And it's sort of like, that's not a world we live in.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. So I don't think you have to return. I guess if you're concerned about someone's safety and well-being and being locked in a trunk.
Yes.
Then feel free.
Yeah.
Return that call.
Yes.
Otherwise.
I just text back. Did you need me?
Okay, fine.
And they'll be like, but dial.
Our next question. Very good question. What do you do when someone gives you a gift you hate? P.S. That someone is your mother. And the gift is a dream catcher.
Nick loves this question.
I love this question so much.
I
giggled. I actually giggled. I LOL'd when this email came in. I think it's so funny. Yeah. Well, I have a lot of thoughts on this. I guess my initial thought is that a dream catcher, I think, is kind of an inappropriate gift because this feels like cultural appropriation. Unless you are from this tradition, which I guess is, you know, Ojibwe or some related something. Unless you're kind of that world, the dream catcher feels like not part of your culture. In which case now it's a decorative craft item, which is like, that's cultural appropriation.
But I do think it's from your mom, who I don't think knows what cultural appropriation is.
No, but just because you don't know doesn't mean it's okay.
But I think she was probably just thinking of you and you could be like, thanks, mom.
Yeah.
And then you could re-gift it.
You're going to re-gift it. Okay.
Or you could donate it.
Oh, to people who need their dreams catched.
Yes. You could just drop it off at Housing Works.
Okay.
Or Salvation whatever. Army, yeah, wherever you way, take your stuff.
Housing Works is a New York City Salvation Army type place.
Dreamcatchers, for some reason, they make me nervous. And
you're worried that the evil that they catch is going to affect you?
I don't want
you?
It. Yeah. And I've never been into a dream. And people, you know, there's like people that have just stuff hanging everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then it usually leads into like chimes. And you're like, I can't take this.
Oh, so you feel like Dreamcatchers is a gateway item to wind chimes.
Yes. And I cannot, you know, then they tingle on the porch right before the evil gets stuck in your dream catcher. I can't handle it.
Wow.
I'm from the state where Stephen King is and
fair.
I don't want it. And so I'm no dream catchers.
Okay.
And so my boyfriend was like, how about if I get a dream catcher tattoo? And I was like, no.
Oh, that's permanent.
And I was like, let's do a different thing. I just thought it was funny because we've discussed dream catchers and now he'll make fun of me. He'll be like, that person is a dream catcher. Are you never going to talk to them again? And I'll be like, what? I'm not that like that.
Secretly, yes. Never going to their house ever.
Right? When people start, you know, you're just like, I'm anxious. And
yeah, dream catchers are obviously,
you know, people have them hanging in their car.
Oh, there's like, it's like a little Christmas tree pine scent thing,
yeah,
but it's a dream catcher.
But it's a dream catcher.
Yeah. I mean, it is a very popular charm. It's a very popular charm. Yes. So I can see why mom thought it was.
Yeah. And mom
charming.
Was just trying to be charming. And I think when mom's just trying to be charming, we just say thank you.
We just say thank you. And then we put it away along with our oversized
no,
photograph.
No, we re-gift it to somebody who likes dream catchers.
Okay. So you have to locate this person.
I'm sure they're everywhere.
Just not you.
It's just not me.
A good friend of mine, I mentioned this question and he said, either your relationship with your mom can survive this or it wasn't going to survive anyway. So either way, you don't have to have a dumb dream catcher in your house. So I was like, okay, that's probably good advice.
I mean, I understand what your friend's saying about being like, hey, mom, this is not my thing.
Because also, does mom not know me? Does mom not get my life?
Maybe mom was just like thinking of you and it was a quick thing, but she didn't really analyze the situation. But she just wanted to let you know that she was thinking of you.
So she was being thoughtless, really.
No.
She was thinking of you, but then also being thoughtless.
No, it was just like a quick thing. And maybe it wasn't her best gift idea.
Maybe she's regifting.
And I think we can just say thank you.
So we say thank you, and then we throw it away.
Because what would we like to be not thought of? I'd rather be thought of.
Ooh, very Oscar Wilde.
Mm.
Yeah.
Me in the wild.
Ooh, twist. So, so you out there in the wilderness, if you have questions for us, and of course you do, please send them to us. You can send them to us through our website, whereyouraisedbywolves.com, or you can send us a text message or leave us a voicemail, 267-CALL-RBW, and we'll be happy to answer them.
Yes.
Anything else you want to say about that, Leah?
No, I'm just so excited that people are writing in all these great questions.
It is super fun. So thank you for sending in your questions, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
And now it's time for Intermezzo.
Intermezzo.
So this episode is brought to you by Incogni. And what Incogni does is basically helps get your personal information off of the internet.
What's so funny is that before Incogni ever approached us, Nick has been telling me to get online and do this because I never Google myself. I never look at anything. I don't have the bandwidth. And my incorrect age is floating out there.
Right. Yeah. There are serious consequences. Yes. So I've helped Leah sign up, and it is very easy to sign up. You basically just like sign up and you give them permission to reach out to data brokers on your behalf. And then they just like take care of it. They reach out, they request all this information to be deleted. They report back to you, let you know how it's going. And like, that's it. And so Incogni has an amazing deal for our listeners. Get an exclusive 60% discount. 60. That's a lot. So go to incogni.com/WYRBW. That's incogni.com/WYRBW. Oh, Leah, one more thing.
What?
Have you signed up for Patreon yet?
I have.
Me too. You out there, have you signed up for Patreon yet? No? Well, go to our website, whereyouraisedbywolves.com, click on monthly membership, check it out, because we would really appreciate it if you'd support our show.
We love your support.
We would. So please do that, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.